Oh, good. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you. We give you glory. We give you honor. It's a privilege that we are counted to be co-workers with you. Thank you for making this day possible for us together. Lord, we are gathered here to worship and to praise you. Lord, we ask that the word you had for your people, may we not go home empty. Fill us and let us hear you speak to us clearly. Lord, we give you glory. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. I want to thank Pastor Dave and wife for the fruitful partnership we've had over the years. It's a privilege getting to know them through Pastor Ed Sweet, and I think it has been wonderful. And I want to thank the church for always helping and praying for the Four Square work in Sierra Leone, and for always helping to get him to visit Sierra Leone. And some of the church members have been here, Mercy and others. You know, we're always grateful having them coming from your church. You are such a wonderful people. God bless you. We appreciate you so much, and we do pray for you. And we think of you always. And I bring you greetings from my lovely wife, my family, and the church leaders. I spoke to them just a few hours ago. You know, imagine we are just maybe to 11 here in Freetown. They're almost getting to 7 p.m. So, you know, but I want to thank God. And they know I'm talking to you this morning. I told them that I'll be here. And they asked me to say greetings to you and to thank you for all you have been doing. The Lord bless you, and the Lord will continue to multiply you. Amen. Will help me because I want to make sure that I don't offend you when I preach. Amen. So, you know, I'm going to be, you know, make sure that I am a bit okay. You know, the Lord spoke to me when I came on Friday. And on Saturday morning, I was having my devotion, and the Lord took me to Luke chapter 5. You know, he already seen something this morning, and I woke up this morning, and I looked at it, you know, and God gave me a message to share with you. Let's go to Luke chapter 5. We're going to do some reading. One day, the Bible says, one day, as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret with the people crowding around him and listening to the word of God. The people were crowding and listening to the word of God. He saw at the water edge two boats. He saw two boats at the water edge. And the Bible says here that they were left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats. Jesus got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from the shore. You know, and the Bible says, then he sat down and taught the people from the boats. He sat down and taught the people from the boats. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, put out into the deep water and let down the net for a catch. Simon answered, Master, we have worked hard, you know, all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the net. And thank God for Peter that he let down the net. Okay, and when they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. the signal to their partners. Remember, they were in a frustrated situation, working so hard all night and caught nothing. And they were almost retiring to go home, washing their nets, saying to their partners, all night, nothing caught, going home to meet the, you know, wives and children, and had nothing to go with. And just at that dying moment, the Bible says, Jesus came and saw two boats, and he took one and said, take me a little further. And Peter did. And after preaching and talking to the people, the Bible says, Jesus turned to Peter and said to him, launch again. You are not going home empty. Launch again. And the Bible says, Peter was looking at Jesus and he said, we've done that throughout the night. Throughout the night. Why launch again? We've already washed our nets. We're on our way home. And Jesus said to him, launch out again into the deep. To God be the glory. He did. He did. The Bible says, this time, he was not disappointed. Amen. He was not disappointed. You know, the situation was reversed. You know, disappointment became an appointment with the Lord. And Peter looked at himself, and you know, the Bible says they could not. You know, they have to signal to their other partners and say, you know what? Good news here. Is somebody here? They say, no. He said, we thought we were washing our net to go away, but something happened. I mean, we need people to come and help us. And the Bible says they signal to them, they say, come over. And the other partners came and they had their own lot too. But this is what happened. You know, when Simon Peter saw this, verse 8, he fell at Jesus' knee and said, go away from me, Lord, I'm a sinful man. You know, verse 9, that's where I'm going. For he and all his companions, Peter and all his companions were astonished. They were astonished at the miracle. You know, I'm going to be talking to you this morning. I am astonished. Say to your neighbor, I am astonished. I am astonished. Say that. You know what? Situations that you think are impossible, God changes it. And that's what happened to Peter here. Now, Peter has worked all night. And, you know, he gets to the point that they get out of the store and pack their boats and they are washing to go home. And they saw a man who came and said to them, Peter, I want to use your boat. And Jesus also told him, you are the one that will take me even a little further into the sea. I want to talk to the people. You know, and after doing that, Jesus turned to him and said, Peter, now take the same net and launch it into the deep. Well, with Peter studied, you know, maybe he was an expert in, you know, marine and fisheries. He studies and he knows what time of the day you can have fish around. So when Jesus was talking to him, he looked at Jesus and say, where are you from? I mean, I've been in this business before you. I knew this certain time of the day when to launch the net and when to retire. Now you are coming here saying to me, launch it again. What do you mean, Master? We have worked all night. And what we got was disappointment. We are going home. But Jesus said, launch into the deep. The Bible says, Peter said to him, at your word, I will obey. You see, there are times as Christians, we get a point wherein we want to depend on our intelligence. We depend on the things that we know. We depend on, things that we hear, and we forget about God. Peter was familiar with the net. He was familiar with the sea. But he forgot that there is a creator who knows his situation, who knows the circumstances, who knows where to catch the fish. And that's why Jesus said, launch again. And I know Jesus was saying to Peter, you are not going home to meet your family disappointed. You are not going to meet your children disappointed. I am here to change your situation. You know, when you come to church, you come in with the expectation. Never come to the house of God just thinking, I come the same way and I go the same way. There should be an expectation in your life. So when Jesus said to him, launch into the deep, Peter, at your word, I'm not sure what will happen, but at your word, I will do. You know, what follows later, he was surprised. They were all surprised. They were all astonished. Because it was beyond their understanding. It was beyond what they knew before. It was beyond their expectation. It was beyond their knowledge. So, when they now see that their net was so full that they were drawing and the net was about to break, that they look ahead and they saw their fellow companions and they said to them, come on, are you disappointed? There is good news here. Please come over. And the Bible said their friends came. And the Bible said they helped them pull the nets. And all of them have a lot to take home for that day. Praise the Lord. And after doing all that, the Bible says, Peter, look at Jesus. And Peter and his brethren, the Bible says, they were surprised. They were surprised. It was beyond their imagination. You know, imagine when we say surprise, it's that something God will do in your life that is beyond what you used to know. Now, let me give you this illustration. A man was traveling and he saw a couple that said, you spend a night with us. And the man said, no problem. And he spent a night with them. And when he was going, he was saying, he dropped a thank you note to the family in an envelope and he went away. When the couples opened the envelope, they saw it was a 10,000 bill note. So he said, thank you. What happened to the family? They were surprised. Is it just a night? Then you are saying thank you to us with 10,000 check? That is what I'm talking. You didn't expect it, but it happens. You know, when Jesus came into the boat of Peter, little did Peter knew that he's going to change for his good. Peter never knew. He was just saying, oh, you want to use my boat, please? Come in. And Jesus. Pastor Dave, I'm trying to control myself. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You know, when we look at what happened in Luke chapter 5, You know, it started with one day. One day. There is a day in every man's life that you will encounter the Savior, Jesus Christ. And when Jesus encounters you and you are willing to say to him, "Yes, Jesus, come." There is a day. So when Jesus saw the boat, he said to Simon, "I need this one, your boat. I want to use it." It's a privilege for us to serve the Lord. Eh? It doesn't matter where we find ourselves in this part of the world. It's a privilege to serve the Lord. You know, it's a privilege for God even to make me a preacher of the word. You know, how will you react? Like, we're all inside here, and you just say, "Stranger, who we see? I saw a cab down outside there. Please give me your keys. I just want to use it." "Who are you? Why do you need my keys? Please get out." But you imagine Jesus just appear and say, "Peter, I need that boat. I'm getting in there. Straight away, you drive me inside." You know, Peter would have asked him, "Who are you? Why do you need my boat? Are there no other boats here? There are two. If you can't use mine, you can use the other man's boat. Not mine." But the Bible says, Peter got into the boat and drove Jesus. And he sat down, and Jesus was teaching the people the word of God. Because it is the word of God that transforms. It is the word of God that blesses. It is the word of God that makes us who we are. Listen, it is the word of God that transforms us as children of God. That's what the Bible says. If any man is in Christ, pass away. So the word is powerful, that Jesus entered the boat of Peter and he taught the people the word of God. After teaching the people, he turned to Peter now and said, "It is your turn. Now launch the nets." I finished teaching, launch the net into the deep. You know, as I said earlier, somebody might say to me, "Preacher, do you know anything about fishery that you are telling me to launch?" Jesus, I know Jesus would have said to Peter, "What you study, I am the creator." I mean, I don't need to graduate from any school. What I know is that I've told you, launch your net into the deep. I don't need to be a graduate of physiology or marine resources. I am the owner. Launch your net into the deep. And Peter said, "At your word." In life, even, as I said, Peter and his companions were surprised. They were astonished because greater things happened that they least expected. You know, let me say to you, there are some people, they have some terminal diseases. They have some things that are bothering them. They have some things in their lives that they have never shared with people. But today, Jesus is going to visit you and you will be astonished of what he's going to do in your life. You will be surprised. You are diagnosed with a certain disease, and doctor says it's impossible. and you've already given up. You say, oh yes, my doctor says it's impossible. I can't survive this. And Jesus said, at my word, you are healed. Is somebody here? He said, because by the stripes of Jesus, you are made whole. And then you went home and discovered the disease is gone. What happened? You are surprised. That what men said is impossible, God said is what? Possible. Because the Bible says, with God, all things are. With men, we have impossibilities. That's why doctors give us impossibilities. They say to us, this is impossible. This can't happen. This can't happen. But listen to me. We are not going to live by the dictate of men. We are going to live by the dictate of our Creator, the Word of God. And so, what must I do to be astonished by God? If you want God to surprise you, what must you do? God is always in the business of surprising us. You know, as Pastor Dave was saying, from January to April now, we've planted 2 churches in this year. These are places I've been praying for the past 2 years. Every time I say to my church, let's pray for Bo. Let's pray for Kenema. God is leading me that we need to have a church in Bo and Kenema. But how that was going to happen, I never knew. You know, just at the beginning of the year, the Lord told me, go to Bo. And I had a friend, and I spoke to him. I was going to Liberia in December. There's a Four Square Church in Liberia. I was going for their national convention as a guest speaker. So I stopped in Bo and spent a night there. And I spoke with my friend, and I told him, I have a leading to come and do a walk in Bo. And he said to me, oh, that's great. So on my way back from Liberia, I spent a week in Liberia after their convention. I was coming back. I stopped over Bo, and we talked together. And I came back to Freetown. And in 3 weeks, I was in Bo. Surprise. But humanly speaking, I would have been thinking, how is it going to happen? It's impossible. And this is what Peter failed to realize, that with God, all things are possible. He was narrowing down his way of thinking to what he has been taught. He's narrowing down his way of thinking to his profession. He was narrowing down to the things he has had. So what must he do to be astonished by God? One. Out. When God called you out, it's for a reason. You know, some of us are from families, but God singled you out and you are saved for a reason. Because God wants to do the impossible in your family. That's why he singled you out. When some of you look at the families you came from, history of, you know, difficulties, some people, challenges, some people, you know, families breaking down, some people, you know, my son, I have singled you out for a reason. I came from a Muslim family. God singled me out for a reason. That's what I'm talking. When God wants to use you, when God wants to surprise you, he singled you out. And I said to him, yes, Lord. And that's why when Jesus came to the lake, he saw the boat of Peter. And he said, Peter, I use your boat. You know, God will single you out in your family for a reason. among your colleagues, God will single you out for a reason. And, you know, in whatever community you find yourself, the hand of the Lord will rest upon you. Remember, when Jesus, before he started ministry, the Bible says he was going to meet John at River Jordan. And everybody was trooping in to be baptized. When John saw Jesus, he singled him out. This is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Now, when John baptized Jesus, the Bible says heaven opened. And Jesus was singled out. And the voice says, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. From that day on, the Bible says, the day I made commitment to follow Jesus, the day I said to him, Lord, yes, I believe. Lord, I'm following you. I say no to whatever my parents have been used to doing, whether they are Muslims. I know you, Jesus. I want to follow you. Jesus singled me out. Praise the Lord. You know, and number two that you need to know if you are going to be astonished by God, God knows your personal, you know, your professional work. He knows it. You don't need to tell him anymore. Are you a nurse? He knows. Don't tell him. Peter was saying to him, what are you talking? I should launch. You don't know my profession? No. When God wants to do great things, he doesn't care your profession. As long as you are willing, he uses you to do. He uses it to do his will. Oh, some people say, well, I'm an engineer. How can I preach the gospel? Jesus, if Jesus singles you out, he will single you to be a preacher. You don't need to tell him. Jesus knew him. Peter was thinking that Jesus didn't know him. And number three, if you are, there are times, you know, we pretend. A lot of Christians pretend. The things are biting them. Yes, they pretend as if it is not biting them. They think, oh, it is not biting them. But right inside them, they get back home, they are crying. They look at their pastor, they are weeping, but yet they pretend. Oh, brother, yes, I'm okay. God bless you. You don't want to talk to anybody about the situation. It's biting you. They look you at the face, they can't know. But right inside, something is itching. Peter never hid his frustrations. He told his companions, let's wash the nets and go away. We've labored all night. Oh. You know, he was frustrated. No, let's wash these nets and go away. Tired. Oh, work all these years. I don't have a savings. Tired of life. You know, as Christians, that's why, you know, some people, because of frustration, we go into their rooms and commit suicide. Eh? You see them driving. Jesus, look at Peter. I'm here to end your frustration. Go back and lunch. You know, admit you are very frustrated at happenings. Your pastor is around. He can help you pray. He can counsel you. Don't ever live in the world of pretense where people think all is okay when it's actually not okay. You pretend everything, you pretend. You know, you walk as if life is okay, but actually right inside, you can't share with anybody. Thank God for Peter that Jesus came. Jesus came. And that's why we are here this morning. That there is Jesus here in this congregation. There is Jesus who is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He knows your frustrations. He knows. Pastor Dave might not know, but Jesus knows your frustrations. He knows. Number four, you have, you know, as I say, you are about washing your nets. Drop it and go home. Jesus knows that what you are about to do is to wash your nets, drop it there, and go home. Give up. You know, Peter wanted to give up. You see, in life, when you get to that point where you think you are going to give up, Jesus will show up in your situation. He will say to you, stop washing this net. It's going to have a cut in it. Don't wash it and throw it away. Don't leave it there. You see, some people write notes when they want to commit suicide. They say to themselves, I am tired of this life. You know, somebody has written that note and is putting it somewhere. You know, that's why we hear people say, oh, he was in church last week and see what has happened, because life has become so bad for that person that he refused to talk to anybody. He gets back into his room. He looks at all that he has. He drops a note and says, I am tired of living. I'm frustrated. And I think there is no need for me to live any longer. I'm dying. Please find this note. You have had a report from the doctor that says that this sickness will kill you, and you didn't talk to your pastor and say, Pastor, this is my medical report. What will I do? You keep on hiding it. You are struggling with it. You lost, you know, you don't have peace anymore. My, oh my. And you get to the point and say, if this sickness is going to kill me, before it kills me, I can kill myself. Refusing to know that there is somebody greater than your sickness, because Jesus said he carried away your infirmity. By his stripes, you are healed. And so remember, when you want to write your last notes, drop your pen and take your Bible. Is somebody here? Drop that pen and take your Bible. You will not die, but live to declare the glory of God. Situations will not kill me. Frustration will not kill me. I refuse to die, because God has an agenda and a purpose for my life. Are you about to walk to the lawyer and say, you know what, I'm tired of my husband, I'm tired of my wife, I'm going to divorce. You are writing the last note to make the summon. Drop your pen. Is somebody here? Jesus is close to you. He wants to surprise you. He wants to surprise you. You see, as Christians, we should aim at God surprising us, astonishing us with miraculous things. Five, hear the voice of the Master. Put out into the deep. I am here to end your frustrations. Jenny, put out into the deep. Can you hear the voice? Or you are hearing the voice on the other end that says to you, it's impossible. It's impossible. Don't put any nets. It's impossible. And the voice says to you, launch again. Hear God.
Because God speaks to us as Christians. He talks to us, and if we can hear him, he will surprise our situation. People who think that you are going to end miserably, God will change the situation. He had bound for a cat. Chapter 8, when Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knee and said, "Go away from me, Lord, I'm a sinful man." And he said, "For he and all." Verse 7. And when they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. And they beckoned to their companions. You see, God has not finished with you. God is going to bless you more. But listen to me, it's for a reason and it's for a purpose. When Pira was blessed, Pira never sat alone and said, "Oh, I take all this. Even if the nets, we're going to rent another boat." Nobody will hear about it. But the Bible says they beckon. You see, the world is a field wherein God is sending us. When the Lord blesses us, it's for a reason. Lord blesses us so that we can open our eyes to other people that we see around and say to them, "Can you come? I have found Jesus. Can you come and enjoy who Jesus is?" And the Bible says Peter beckoned and his brothers that were suffering, and they put a smile on their faces. And that is the essence of the gospel. Praise the Lord. Lastly, I'm going to end up. They were astonished at the outcome. They were astonished at the outcome. They were surprised. They were surprised. I think I met, in Acts chapter 3, the lame man at the beautiful gate was astonished. He said to Peter and John, "Give us money." And Peter and John look at him and say, "Silver and gold and the man looked at him and said, "I asked for silver and gold." And Peter said, "No, silver and gold we do not have." And somebody will say, "Okay, pass your way. I'm looking for somebody with silver and gold. If you don't have, please don't talk to me. Find your way." But Peter said to him, "In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and what? Walk." And the man was looking at him and said, "Silver and gold. Rise up and walk. What will I? Silver and gold am I looking for?" And the Bible says, Peter grabbed him. You see, there are situations that want to put you down for many years. Get up from that situation. Get up! And Peter said to him, "You want to remain there for all these years? Get up!" And the man said, what he thought was impossible, he said, because the man has already accepted that he will never walk. He remains a beggar. "Can I walk? I can't walk. I'm a layman." And Peter said, "Get up." That's why when the people find him in the church, the man was doing praise worship. They were looking at him. "Is he not this man we used to see at the beautiful gate?" Jumping in church, they were astonished. They were surprised that this man is no more where they used to meet him. They were astonished. God will do a miracle in your family that will surprise you. God will do a miracle in your life that will surprise you. It is only Jesus that can surprise you. If you know him and if you believe him, God will take away your situation. It doesn't matter. I say it to you again that it doesn't matter your situation. There is a God who is greater than your problem. There is a God who is greater than your circumstance. There is a God who is greater than your frustration. You need to rise up and walk. You are never created to crawl. You are never created to crawl. You are never created to be in one place. There are some of you, God will take you to places you have never been. You will be surprised. You will be surprised because you will find yourself doing the work of God. But you said, I will never be there. But God said, I have a plan for you. Launch into the deep. I don't know the situation you are passing through, but I want to encourage you. There's a word for a family that want to give up. There is a word for a young man who wants to give up. That there is a God that is above your situation. What he does, listens. When you are talking alone in the car, he listens. He knows your conversation. He listens to your conversation. He even had last night when we are saying, in the next 1 month, if you don't change, I'm going to divorce you. He knows. Because you are getting frustrated. Jesus is here. Jesus, who changes the situation of Pira, can change your family situation. And I want to encourage you as I pray for you that God will surprise you. Diseases that the doctor has said is impossible, God is going to surprise you. You will get back home, and after a few weeks, you look at yourself and say, oh, praise God. What has happened? He's gone. In John chapter 5, the man at the pool of Bethsaida was there for 38 good years, and I said to myself, 38 good years is long years to suffer. 38 good years, you are suffering in one place. And when Jesus came to him, he said, what do you want me to do for you? And he said, I have nobody. Jesus said, nobody? There's somebody already. I'm close to you. What do you want me to do? He said, when the angel used to come and scoop the water, nobody to carry me. That's what they are used to. Jesus said to him, you are not going to the water. Pick up your mat and go. Is somebody here? Pick up your mat and do what? Go. And the man said, no, we used to run when the angel comes. When the angel scoop the water, the first person that we get there, we get healed. What are you telling me? Rise up. Pick up your mat and go. And the man was surprised that he did not need to get into the water to receive healing. He just found himself up and he started going. And people who saw him for 38 good years, they too were surprised. Say, is he not this man that we have been meeting for 38 good years? Your situation might have lasted for 1 month, 2 months, 3 months, 1 year, 5 years, 6 months. Today, Jesus is saying, pick up your mat and go. And every situation will disappear in the name of Jesus. I want to pray for you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I give you glory. I give you honor. Lord, locate that family. Locate that individual person. There are situations itching in your life that you never share with anybody. God knows your frustrations. He sees what you are passing through. And he says to me, my son, in the next few weeks, I'm going to surprise that man. In the next few months, I'm going to surprise that family. Lord, in the name of Jesus, I believe your word. That out of this will come testimonies. That your people will be surprised. That situation.
every frustration will give way. Those who are thinking of even committing suicide, I cancel that spirit in your life in the name of Jesus. Daddy, thank you this morning. Out of this place, you will begin to do miracles in the life of your people. Oh God, we give you glory. We give you honor. Thank you for touching that family. Thank you, Jesus, for touching that young man. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In Jesus' mighty name we pray.
Stay right here for a second. You know, Kent and TR, would you stand? One of the things